Welcome to our sixth Sunday of Epiphany worship podcast of Holy Cross Lutheran Church of Austin and Our Savior's Lutheran Church of Brownsville, Minnesota. February 13, 2022. This is Pastor Olana. Throughout the season of Epiphany, we experience a sense of brightening. As we grow nearer to springtime, there is more daylight with each passing day. The world becomes brighter and brighter. As the week of this Epiphany season continues, we see our Lord Jesus more clearly, and we hear His word that speak to our heart and lives. The well-loved hymn, Beautiful Savior, has a classic line, Jesus shines brighter, Jesus shines purer than all angels in the sky. God grant that brighter light shine forth in our lives as we reflect the wondrous light that is Christ, the light of the world. May this light of the world shines on your life as you worship with us this morning. We open our service in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, keep record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon Him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God,
have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. How is this confession receives absolution? Almighty God in His mercy has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgive all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ in His authority, I therefore forgive all your sins in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us pray. O Lord, graciously hear the prayer of your people, that we who justly suffer the consequence of our sin may be mercifully delivered by your goodness to the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, O Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, and now forever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading for this Sunday is taken from Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 through 8. Thus says the Lord, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert, and he shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in inhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water, that sends out its roots by the stream, and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remains green, and is not anxious in the eyes of the drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks to be God. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 through 20. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. If Christ has been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, and the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks to be God.
Jesus.
the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judah and Jerusalem and seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their disease. And those who were troubled with unclean spirit were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for the power came out from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you and spurn your name as evil, on the account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Let us confess our confession in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. And he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Of royal David's stem, in thy birth at Bethlehem, anthems be to thee addressed, God in man made manifest. Manifest at Jordan stream, prophet, priest, and king supreme, and at Cana where and power divine, changing water into wine, anthems be to thee addressed, God in man made manifest. Manifest in making whole palsied limbs and fainting soul, manifest in devil's might, manifest in gracious will, ever bringing good from ill, anthems be to thee addressed, God in man made manifest. Sun and moon shall darkened be, stars shall fall, the heavens shall flee, Christ will then like lightning shine, all will see his glorious sign. All will then the trumpet hear, all will see the judge. God in man made manifest. Grant us grace to see thee, Lord, present in thy holy word. Grace to imitate thee now, and be pure as pure art thou, that we might become like thee. Thy great epiphany, and may praise thee ever blessed, God in man made
manifest. A blessed day to you. This is Pastor Stolman with a Bible study of the Epistle lesson for the sixth Sunday after Epiphany. We begin with prayer. Almighty God, from whom comes every good and perfect gift, we give you thanks for all we have received in the past week, spiritual or physical. We ask that in your goodness you would grant us your favor in the coming week also. And now open our ears and hearts to hear your word, that it may be fruitful among us. We pray for the Spirit's guidance in Jesus' name. Amen. With our study so far from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, we have seen that the Holy Christian Church, the body of Christ, is blessed by the Spirit with spiritual gifts. And we have seen that we are to exercise those gifts with love. And the apostle has shown us how to use those gifts lovingly. Remember, the love we have been talking about is not the worldly love that isn't always selfless. We're talking about a love based on God's love, his love in which he gives himself and cares for us, forgiving us and saving us, even though we are unworthy. Our love comes from God and is practiced through our redeemed and sanctified wills. Christian love is best exemplified by Christ, who gave himself for us and saved us. Because he did this, he was raised from the dead on the third day, which brings us to the next chapter. For the next 2 weeks, we will be reading and studying chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. It's the famous chapter on the resurrection of the dead. Today we begin by reading verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This doctrine or teaching about our resurrection from the dead is based on the fact that God raised his Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. The apostle reminds us that our resurrection from the dead will happen as a fruit or result of Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead. The fact of Jesus' resurrection is settled first in this chapter when St. Paul lists some of the witnesses who saw Jesus Christ alive after dying on the cross and being buried. Those witnesses are mentioned in this chapter in verses 3 to 8, which I will now read. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that's the Apostle Peter, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me, thus far the reading. Knowing that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, we can ask that typical Lutheran question, what does this mean? First of all, it has meaning for the whole world, as Martin Luther says in his explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. Quote, and God will, on the last day, raise me and all the dead, and give me and all believers in Christ eternal life. Second of all, the resurrection has special meaning for us as believers. Even though all people will be raised from the dead, only believers will be raised to life in heaven. All unbelievers will be raised to a life in hell, that is eternal punishment for not recognizing and trusting in God. This division of people is clearly taught in God's word. Christ will send his angels to gather both the dead and the living for judgment on the last day, which then ends with division. So, in Mark chapter 13, verses 26 to 27, we read, "And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven." And then we read in Matthew 13, verses 41 and 42, "The Son of Man will send his angels. They will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and throw them into the furnace of fire. There men will weep and gnash their teeth." Thus far the reading. In addition to affirming the resurrection, Paul also deals with those people who deny the resurrection. Denying that there will be a resurrection was nothing new in those days. During Jesus' ministry, he had to deal with the Sadducees, who denied that there would be a resurrection of the dead. It wasn't only Israelites who denied the resurrection, but also the Gentiles. The Greek idea of a bodily resurrection was particularly offensive to them, as the reaction of the Stoics and Epicureans at Athens reacted to Paul's preaching of the resurrection in Acts 17, verse 32. Apparently, during Paul's ministry, there were even Christians who denied the resurrection. Some of those Christians were members of the Corinthian congregation. Some commentators refer to them as Christ people. They were called that because they thought they were elite Christians who used the name of Christ to identify themselves. Paul doesn't tell us why they believed or denied the resurrection, but he shows that denying the resurrection, which is central to the Christian faith, destroys the basis of our faith. Paul goes to some lengths to explain why this is true. Listen to his argument now in verses 12 through 19 of chapter 15. "Now, if Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied." Having shown how the resurrection is central then to the Christian faith, Paul then affirms that there is a resurrection when he writes, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Yes, Christ is raised from the dead. Yes, we trust him as our Savior. If his sacrifice had not been sufficient to pay for our sins, he would not have been raised from the dead. Seeing the value of the resurrection in the Christian faith, we see also the comfort it brings, and so did the apostle. That's why he wrote this in his letter to the Romans, chapter 14. "Is it Christ Jesus who died, just who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the blessing of the resurrection for us. Next week, we will learn more about this teaching of the resurrection from the dead as we read another section of 1 Corinthians 15. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, as members of your church, help us love as you loved us, as we hear and obey your word and send your spirit to guide us in being loving in the use of the spiritual gifts. Help us live our lives to your glory as we await that great day when we shall be raised from the dead and we will live and reign with Jesus in heaven. It is this blessing, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we seek again this week. Amen.
Join me, please, for a closing prayer. Lord Jesus, you have made known to us the things of the kingdom today. Show us to apply what we have learned in this service to our daily lives. Help us to make wise choices throughout the week for the glory of your name. May we be able to shift through all that we have learned so that we can walk in your ways. Father, give us wisdom that leads to love and faith. In Jesus' name we believe and pray. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord looks upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.
Savior.